One religious man was overheard saying, "Well, no wonder you people rejoice so much. God chose you." I am so thankful He included me. And that man, if God doesn't deal with him before he goes out into eternity, he will wish that God had included him in the eternal covenant of grace. What a God. Well, I want to thank all of you for your hospitality and all the love you have shown to me and my wife. I'm just overwhelmed. And I thank my God for every one of you. We'll have to be leaving this afternoon to head back to Indiana. And I do covet your prayer, so please, if you remember us, just utter a few words that God would protect us while we travel. Keep us safe and help me to get up and down in future. Up and down. It's not so hard getting down, but getting back up is a little difficult. But anyway, thank you. I want you to turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. There's a man recorded in the scriptures by the name of King Herod, a wicked king, and he went to visit some people of another nation, and he gave a speech. He didn't like them, and they didn't like him, but they could profit by the king, and so they catered to him and flattered him, and as he was speaking, they said, "It's the voice of a God." And he just ate that up. And because he did not give God the glory, now I'm choosing my words deliberately, God killed him. Now let me say that again. And this is not coming from something that I conjured up in my mind. This is from the Word of God. Because he did not give God the glory, God killed him. And the worms ate him. Just because he gave a speech and just let some pagan people flatter him with words that robbed God of his glory. Do you realize how many preachers are standing in pulpits today doing the very same thing that King Herod did? Receiving the praises from men and women in their congregations while they tell them lies. I find myself in that very position right here this morning, standing before you representing the true and living God, Jesus Christ my Lord. And I want to be very careful not to draw attention to myself, but to my Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, we read, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Now we just heard in the last message that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Now folks, listen, if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. That, I didn't come up with that phrase, somebody else did, but I like it. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And we need to pay attention to that when things aren't going the way we think they should go. Things are going just exactly the way God wants them to go, or they wouldn't be going that way. And so we have this treasure in earthen vessels concerning this. Look at verse 6. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Amen. So Jesus Christ, and we just heard it just a moment ago, is the creator of everything. He just said, let it be. And everything that God created came into existence by the word of his mouth, the mouth of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And that same God, that very same God who said, let there be light, that was his command, has commanded the light to shine in the hearts of a particular people, not in the hearts of everybody, but he has commanded the light to shine in those people he included in the covenant of grace, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Brethren, Jesus Christ is God's glory. It's God's glory. And we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that our free will is what accomplished that knowledge. I'm being facetious. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And we're the only people on the face of this sin-cursed earth that believe that, that understand this. All works religion, no exception. All works religions attribute their salvation to something they have done. Oh, they'll be very careful to try and let you know that they believe Jesus Christ died for them, paid the sin debt for them. He's their Savior. But their words deny it. They deny the power thereof, so they deny that Jesus Christ is their Savior. Can he be your Savior if you believe that you are going to heaven because you did something? Well, I got baptized. Brethren, that's no different than trying to keep the law for your righteousness. No different. People think they're going to heaven because they live in the United States. You know, our government leaders are just as pagan, most of them. I'm not going to include all of them because I don't know. Most of them are just as pagan. I'm sure thankful God's in control of everything. They're just as pagan as King Herod, that God smote. But we, God's chosen people, those he wrote their names in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world, those he purposed before this world began to be with Jesus Christ and behold his glory for all eternity. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, and we don't boast in anything but the Lord. Now, I didn't know I was in darkness, spiritual darkness, until I experienced the miracle of the new birth. I came under the preaching of the gospel, and I heard that truth, that I was in darkness and that I loved darkness. And God revealed it was true. I didn't know that before. I didn't know that I was bankrupt, spiritually speaking, had nothing, nothing to offer God in exchange for my eternal soul. I didn't know that I deserved eternal torment. I'm just good as the next guy. That's not good enough.
Amen.
We have to be as perfect as God Himself.
That's right.
Before we can enter into glory. We cannot have a relationship with God in this life unless we believe that Jesus Christ is our perfect righteousness, making us in the sight of God as holy as God Himself. I didn't know that. I didn't know that till I came under the preaching of the gospel. I didn't know that Jesus Christ went to the cross and obtained eternal redemption for me. I didn't know that. I didn't know He by Himself purged my sins. I didn't know that Jesus Christ took all of my sins upon Himself, bore them in His own body on a tree, took them to the grave like John was preaching on just a moment ago. I didn't know He took all of my sins and removed them from God's sight forever. I didn't know that until I came under the preaching of the gospel. Do you know that? Do you know that Jesus Christ looks upon you as His chosen blood-bought child just as pure as He is? Not because of anything we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. I didn't know those things. And I wouldn't know them today if God had not revealed them to me. I heard them under the preaching of the gospel. But the gospel is revealed from heaven itself, from God who is seated on His throne of power, who comes to His chosen children who were purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ and says, live. One word, live. And He's not waiting around for you to give Him permission to do that either. And when He says live, He sees us polluted in our own blood, cast off to the side with no one, not even ourselves, to help us out of that condition, and gives us that which will give Jesus Christ all the glory, eternal life, through the merits of the one who loved us and gave Himself for us. And we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And the sad thing about my condition, before I came under the preaching of the gospel and was given faith to believe, the sad thing about my condition, I didn't care. I didn't care. I didn't care about those things. I didn't care what you believed, and I didn't want you pushing your religion on me. So it's God's doings all the way. And I'm so thankful to my God for His wonderful grace bestowed upon me for the glory of Jesus Christ. What a treasure. What a treasure. Now I want you to do something. Turn with me to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. And let me share some thoughts with you. Maybe you have not really pondered. And they're important thoughts. We look upon some of the spiritual men and women in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament, and we tend to put them up on pedestals. In other words, we think too highly of them. Now, we should esteem them highly, but don't overlook who gets all the praise for those people we read about in the Old Testament. Let me just mention a few. David and Goliath. David, he ran down to face Goliath when all of Israel, brave warriors, trembled in their shoes just at the sound of his voice. And David didn't just go down, he ran down. He ran to face his enemy. He was a man after God's own heart. And he went in the name of the Lord Jesus, and God gave him the victory. Yes. Here's something maybe you didn't stop and really give thought to. David came into this world with the same wicked heart that Goliath had. And God raised up Goliath for that very purpose, to show his power, God's power, in what took place. Somewhere along the line, after David came into this world, he experienced the same experience all of God's children have experienced. He experienced the miracle of the new birth. God gave him a new heart. David was a man after God's own heart, but not that heart he was born with. It was the new heart that God gave him. And it was God who nerved David's arm to run down and face Goliath. And that whole event and all the details of it, like John was bringing out in his message, all of that was purposed by God and executed by God for the glory of Jesus Christ our Savior. He is God's glory, and he has always been God's glory. And it was God who purposed that everything would be for the glory of his darling Son, Jesus Christ the Lord. So that event, yes, we admire David. What a young man. But focus on God. Take your eye off of David and focus on God. It was God who granted that victory. It was God who purposed it. And it was God who gave David the strength to go down and face that enemy and kill him with a rock. He did cut off his head with a sword, but he slung a rock and it penetrated that eyepiece on his helmet, right into his forehead. And it points to Jesus Christ, our rock, who crushed Satan's head. Folks, it's for God's glory all of these things were written for our learning, but for the glory of Jesus Christ, our King.
Amen.
And we can name several others. Moses, for example. He went down and he faced, or went up, whichever direction it was, he faced Pharaoh. But Moses had the same wicked heart when he came into this world as Pharaoh did. I'm going to prove that to you in just a moment. From Scripture. God had to give Moses a new heart. And that's what he does to us. So, though Moses was a man to admire, he had to experience that miracle of the new birth. God had to give him a new heart. And God purposed this for the glory of Jesus Christ. And when Moses was sent from God to tell Pharaoh, "Let my people go," Pharaoh responded the first time with these words, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him?" He knows now.
Yes,
he knows now. And Moses begged God to send his brothers. "I can't even speak." God said, "I form the mouth, I'll fill it." And God purposed all of that. Even from Joseph going down into Egypt, becoming the prime minister over all of Egypt, calling his brothers down by his own method that God gave him, revealing himself, and all of Israel spending all of that time in Egypt before Moses was sent to deliver his people, God's people. That was all arranged by God, executed by God, to get his people down into Egypt so that he could show himself as God Almighty in delivering them. Now, folks, it's recorded right here in Romans chapter 9. And I'm going to start at verse 15. For he, God, said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Now that's recorded for our learning. This is God's word. He raised up Pharaoh to kill him.
That's right.
That sound too hard? If you believe God and believe God's word, it's not. For this same reason have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. This was purposed by God before the world began, before time began, executed by God, and all the little details building up to Pharaoh letting God's people go, all of that was purposed by God, ordained by God, executed by God for the glory of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. So yes, we admire Moses, but we give God all the glory for everything concerning Moses. Amen?
Amen.
We better.
Amen.
To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. Now let me give you one more Bible character in respect to this truth. And this would cause many, many, many religious people to want to kill me. Mary, the virgin who was chosen as an instrument to bear the Christ child, came into this world with the same wicked heart that Jezebel had.
That's right.
Now, she was a virtuous woman, and she did not commit the sins that a lot of women committed, but she was a sinner saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
And she gave testimony to that very truth. Her heart rejoiced in God, her Savior. And there are millions and millions of people who bow down to her and worship her as the mother of God. And I'm telling you, God does not have a mother. The Christ child had a mother who was chosen to give birth to him. But we don't worship Mary because she gave birth to the Christ child. We worship the risen, exalted Christ who created Mary for that very purpose. And so these truths cannot be denied. They cannot be. Would you turn with me to John chapter 17, please? John chapter 17. Our Lord Jesus is on his throne in glory. He's back where he was before he came to this earth. Only now he's there as a glorified God-man. And in John 17, in the first three verses, we read, these words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, now this is his high priestly prayer. This is the high priestly prayer of Jesus Christ our Lord. He's praying as though he had already gone to the cross, and had already finished the work that the Father gave him to do. He hadn't. But he's praying that way. And he says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Now our Lord is praying that God would glorify him with the same glory that he had with the Father before he came to this world. Well, what glory was that? How can we understand the glory that he had before he came to this earth? By remembering what the Word of God says about him before he came. We read it in the scriptures that all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he, that is God, he rules over the army of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Amen. That's the glory he had with the Father before he came. Like John mentioned a while ago, there's only one God. And God says to us during that time before Christ came that all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he's in control of all of it. In heaven, on earth, and none can stop him. None can stay his hand. Or even question him by saying, what doest thou? The psalmist said this: my God is in the heavens, he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. That's the glory Jesus had before the Father sent him to this earth. He had that glory doing whatever it was that pleased him. Well, what pleases him? Doing whatever he wants to do. And he's the Lord Jesus Christ is immutable. Oh, he can't change. If he could change, he would change his mind about me, but he can't. That's why we're not consumed. Sons of Jacob are not consumed because of that very truth. God is immutable. I heard a preacher years ago sent me a book, wanted me to read it, and a tape, wanted me to listen to the tape. So I didn't want to take the time to read the book until I listened to the tape, just to get an idea of what the book was all about. And then one of the very first things he said was, God changed his mind about the time when he was going to come. I just threw everything in the garbage and said, well, I'm not going to listen to that, and I'm not going to read anything from a man that believes that. God cannot change. Please, please, please don't just take that lightly. Praise God that he looks down upon me with an immutable eye of unchanging grace.
Amen.
And I have his promise, the promise from God himself, that he will never leave me nor forsake me. In spite of my own sinful weaknesses, I know that is true. Here in John 17, we read where God the Father has given Jesus Christ power over all flesh. And included in that power is that he should give eternal life to as many as God the Father gave him. No more, no less. And he has that power. And he's demonstrated that power in this old sinful preacher standing before you right now. He demonstrated that power when he came to me when I was dead in trespasses and sins, when I was just as blind Bartimaeus, just as dead as Lazarus was physically when God raised him from the dead, just as worthy of eternal torment as any sinner who will spend eternity there. I have nothing to offer God. I sin just as much, if not more, as those who will go to hell. But God, in loving mercy, by his sovereign grace, through the power of Jesus Christ, delivered me from the wrath to come. And I have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of me. Can you say that?
Yeah.
I hope you can. I hope you give him the glory. I hope you praise my Lord Jesus for every blessing he's pleased to bestow upon you for his eternal glory.
Yeah.
Oh, what a God. What a God. And life eternal is to know him, to know the true and living God. Look at verse 9. Our Lord Jesus is praying, and these are his words. He says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. So all of those that the Father gave his Son, they belong to God the Father, and God the Father promised them to God the Son, and there's a definite, you cannot argue this, there's a definite distinguishing grace between those who will spend eternity in glory and those who will spend eternity in hell. Our Lord Jesus does not pray for the world. He did not pray for the world. He's not making intercession for the world right now. He prayed for his people, those who were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, those who were given to him in the eternal covenant of grace. He prays for them. And I'll guarantee you that the prayers of Jesus Christ are answered.
Amen.
And it's not our will, but his will. James worded it this way, of his own will begat he us. Of God's own will begat he us with the word of truth. And it's the truth that sets the prisoner free. And my Lord Jesus said this, if the Son shall make ye free, ye shall be free indeed. Without him, we can't do anything. But we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Look at verse 24 of this same chapter. Verse 24 reads this way, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. This is the prayer of Christ our Savior, that all those that God the Father gave him would be with him to behold his glory. And all of those who were chosen in Christ, who were redeemed by Christ, who were regenerated by God the Holy Spirit to see the glory of Christ, all of them will be in glory with Jesus Christ. And his prayer was that we might behold his glory. Now we do that in this life by faith. And if we have true God-given faith, we'll see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. What a wonderful God who would include me in the covenant of grace, to be a recipient of the truths of the gospel that give our Lord Jesus Christ all the glory. I'm so thankful he included me. And brethren, if we have this treasure in earthen vessels, knowing that the excellency of the power is of God and not of us, we'll know this truth because the Word of God tells us that we'll know it. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. How many things?
All things.
That might be difficult to fully grasp, but it's not difficult to fully believe. Not if we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. All things includes tornadoes, hurricanes, floods, earthquakes, government shutdowns. All things. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. He's on His throne right now, working all things after the counsel of His own will. And when it pleases Him to do so, He'll come right down in the person of the Holy Spirit, and He will call His chosen blood-bought child out of darkness into His marvelous light, so that we'll know all these things. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And we bow before Him, and I pray God will help us to bow before Him in the midst of prosperity, but also in the midst of adversity. It's easy when you're on the mountaintop of success, no problems with health, no financial struggles, to say that Jesus Christ is Lord of all, and He's given me all of this. How about when you're down in the valley of despondency and you have health problems and your bank account is low and you don't have money coming in? We can trust Him through everything.
That's right.
Because we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And only in this life do we have the honor and the opportunity of giving our risen, exalted King all the glory before a world of ungodly, wicked people who don't know Him. And the reason we have this testimony that Jesus Christ is in control of everything is because He commanded the light to shine in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, and thank you once again for your loving hospitality and for allowing me the honor
Thank you,
of preaching before you. Thank you. God bless you.